Good morning, everyone. What a joy to be here this morning, to be gathered as the saints of our God, to be able to sing praises to Him, to be able to lift our voices up in prayer as well, and to listen now to the voice of our God through His inspired word as we seek to rightly divide our God's word of truth. To our guests, we welcome you once again. We thank you for being here this morning. And to our brothers and sisters who have been here since early, thank you. And for those who are able to make it tonight to our second hour as well, thank you all for being here. If you will, please turn with me, or let's have a word of prayer, and then we will get into our lesson this morning. So please bow with me. Our most beloved God and our precious King, we call upon thy holy name, calling upon thee, Father, for we know that because of the blood of your precious Son, we now have that privilege to draw near to thee, having washed, Father, our consciences with his precious blood, to be able, Father, to stand before thee without shame. Lord, as we continue to do so, we now aim to rightly divide thy word of truth. And as we continue, Father, to learn of these types and antitypes that are found within your inspired scriptures, please, Father, grant us the strength and the wisdom so that we may not only learn how they apply in our lives, Father, but that we may find the boldness to actually put it into practice. Father, many of our members are out either traveling or sick. We deposit them all in your hands, asking you, Father, that you be with them, and that when the time comes for those who are traveling to return to us, they may arrive back safely. And for those who have been currently sick, Father, that they may be healed, Lord, so that they too can rejoin us, Father, and we can rejoice together. We are especially grateful, Father, for Sister Hunter, as we see her here among us. We thank you, Father, for you know how much we've been praying for her well-being. And we thank you, Father, for having allowed her to be here this morning so that we may rejoice together with her. Thank you, Father, once more for the many blessings. Forgive us for our sins, for we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most frequently, when we talk about types and antitypes, usually our mind tends to tie or associate a lesson from the Old Testament, a person from the Old Testament, or a prophecy from the Old Testament that it is revealed within the pages of the New Testament. But we have to remember, friends and brethren, that is not always the case. You see, sometimes we find lessons within the pages of the New Testament that can also serve the same purpose, that they can also teach us and show us something that we need to know about ourselves or something that perhaps we were missing or not seeing. For example, we read about the temple and how the apostles Peter and Paul used the temple, including John as well, to speak about the church. We are often told that we are the temple of God. Then we see that both Paul and Peter referred to the body as a tabernacle, and thus, once more, referring to the fact that God's presence, God's word, God should be in our lives. So there are types that we can find in the New Testament. There are shadows, if you will, that we find found there within the pages of the New Testament. And as I was preparing and as I was writing the article for this Sunday morning, I came across this knowledge that had escaped me before and wanted to share it with you this morning. You see, in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, we see that very interesting case of the 10 lepers who begged for mercy. Within those pages, many times what is most memorable from this passage is the fact that one who was a Samaritan came back to thank God, that he returned and thanked Jesus, and it's one of those rare occasions, if not the only occasion, where we see Jesus wonder, where are the other nine? You see, many times our Lord did the miracles. Many times our Lord healed lepers, cured blind men. He did many miracles, but we never see him wanting someone to return to thank him for it. Perhaps this is why this case is so curious to us, is so fascinating, because we see Jesus actually ask. We see him wonder what happened to the other nine. But even more so, we see that Jesus is the one who reveals to us, as written by the inspired Luke, that those who were ungrateful, those who did not thank him, Those who quickly and easily forgot what they had just pleaded for, they were of his own kind. They were Jews, members of the same tribe. They were people of his own biological bloodline. But you see, it's fascinating because here what we learn, brethren, is where we begin to unravel that shadow, that mystery, or that type that many times we miss. You see, Jesus decided to heal all 10 of them, not only the 9 Jews, and leave the Samaritan leprous. And this is important for us to know, because remember that while he was here in the world, Jesus kept giving us glimpses and he kept giving hints about what he was going to do. In fact, when we begin, pay attention to the fact that there in verse 12 and verse 13 of Luke 17, the Bible says that all 10 of them were together. Between them, they were lepers. There was no more Jew. There was no more Gentile. There was no Samaritan. Because they were all outcasts of society. They all were kept outside on the outskirts and were not allowed to come to the temple. They were not allowed to draw near. In fact, as we see there in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, every single one of them, whether there was one Samaritan or not, all of them had to shout, unclean, unclean. Pay attention to the fact that here the Bible begins revealing to us that all men are sinners, regardless of Jew, regardless of Samaritan, regardless of Gentile. Pay attention that in the eyes of God, we are all infected with spiritual leprosy. We all have need of healing. You see, here we see a case where God is showing the universality of sin. Because even though that they had been healthy and they had not been outcast because of their leprosy, then those 9 Jews would have treated that one Samaritan the way the Jews did. The blood feud that was between these two cultures would have continued to exist. But how interesting that when they were all in the same boat of misery, all of that was not as important anymore. Because we were all in need of salvation. We were all in need of healing. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul does an amazing job in showing that equality, that universality of sin, as he brings forth the common man along with the royal man, and he reveals what God does not want for any man. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, "Therefore I exert first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Pay attention how in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says that we should be praying for all men, that we should be interceding for all men. We should be supplicating for all men. You see, there was no more Jew or Gentile in the mind of the Apostle Paul. In verse 2, he even includes, yes, we should pray for kings. Yes, we should pray for our Roman governors. Yes, we should pray for those who are of the aristocracy, just as much as we pray for those who are of the poverty class. Because God wants for all men, rich or poor, powerful or powerless, leprous or clean. All men are to be saved, for this is good in the sight of God. The first thing we begin to see, brethren, that sometimes escapes our knowledge is that these 10 men were together. We didn't know their nationalities until the one Samaritan came back. Jesus, we can perhaps infer that he didn't question, nor did he wonder, because it didn't matter. All that Jesus saw was men who were infected with leprosy. He didn't stop to ask, okay, which one of you are from the house of Judah and which one is from Samaria? But rather, all he saw was they all needed his mercy. They were all in dire need of his compassion. You see, Jesus, brethren, there, through what Luke is showing us, or we can even make the argument that Luke was foreshadowing the condition of all of mankind. He was revealing to us that like these 10 men, it doesn't matter where we come from, doesn't matter what culture we grew up with, it does not matter what family we belong to. Without Christ, we are all infected with sin. In the eyes of God, without the blood of the Lamb, without a blemish and without a spot, we are all infected and we are all in need of being cleansed. It did not matter, brethren, that one was a Samaritan. At this point of the story and at this point in the scripture, it didn't matter that 9 were Jews and 1 Samaritan, because their communities, their societies, followed the same laws that made them outcasts. By the rule of the law, they were unclean. You see, in Romans chapter 3, remember that we've just seen that in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul makes a case revealing why both Jew and Gentile are sinners. But in verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Paul saying, we as Jews, are we better than the Gentiles? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. So brethren, when we begin to see and we see the first shadow found within that story, we see then that just like the Jews and the Samaritan were together because they were outside, they were outcasts, that they could not come into the presence of God because of their uncleanliness, so were we. We were all in communion with one another in sin, but none of us were in fellowship with God because we were unclean. Which brings us to our next point. Go back with me to Luke chapter 17. Pay close attention to the reaction of these leprous men when they recognized who was standing before them. Luke chapter 17. Verse 12 and verse 13. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. All 10 of these men, Jew and Samaritan, all of them came to Jesus. All of them recognized the power of Jesus. And therefore, all of them asked for mercy from Jesus. See, brethren, the Samaritans, in John chapter 4, we saw another case where a Samaritan did not know who Jesus was. She asked about whether at Mount Gerizim was where they were supposed to offer or Mount Jerusalem. They were searching for Abraham or Father Abraham because he is our father. The Jews had Moses. The Jews followed Isaac and they followed the laws of the Levites. But when you are on the outcast, when Moses and Abraham are not able to cleanse you, when these two systems, whether Jewish or Samaritan, are not powerful enough to save you, you come to that realization that there is no other more powerful than Jesus who can provide what Abraham and Moses could not. Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, John describes this point much better. If you will, go with me to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, if you are a diligent student of the Bible, you know where we are going. Verse 16 and verse 17 is our second point. You see, whether it was a Samaritan, whether it was a Gentile, whether it was a Jew, only Jesus could provide the way that led to being cleansed from all our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Pay attention to the fact that God only sent His Son and only His begotten Son. He did not send His angels to die along Christ's side on the cross. He did not send another Son that He begotten because He only begotten one. And it is only through Him that the world can be saved. If you turn to Colossians chapter 1, notice how we complement what John just said with what Paul adds there in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, the Bible reads, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." It pleased the Father that in Him, this is what John is saying in John 3:16 and 17. It pleased the Father to save the whole world. It pleased the Father to love the whole world. Not just the Israelites. Not just a certain culture, or a certain group, or a certain nation. No, God so loved all the world. When Jesus decided to have mercy on those 10 lepers, He loved them all. He healed them all for the same reason. And there isn't much we have to look into there. He healed them because they were sick. That's really all as simple as it was. Jesus had mercy on them because they were in need of it. He had compassion on them regardless of whether they were punished or whether it was just an unfortunate situation. It didn't matter. It didn't matter because we do have to remember that in the Old Testament, Miriam is a case where we see that because of her disobedience, she was punished with leprosy. Who forgets Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, who went and lied in the name of his master? He too was punished with leprosy. And there are many other cases where the Jews were very well aware of, where they very likely associated a person's leprosy with divine punishment. Perhaps some of those 9, perhaps all 10 of them, had been indeed punished with leprosy. But to the Lord, it didn't matter. To the Lord, it didn't matter because He has the power to reconcile us with God. He has the power to forgive our sins. He has the power, and He is the one that we should turn to when we need to be healed from our sins. See, in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Jesus points to the bronze serpent that God had commanded Moses to raise in the wilderness. And the reason Jesus points to that is because if you recall that story, the Israelites, because of their murmuring, God sent fiery serpents among them to bite them. And therefore, when they began to repent and they began to clamor upon God, God gave this commandment, but God told them that whoever turned to the bronze serpent and saw it, they would be healed and they would not die. Brethren, we've been bitten by our sins. We've been bitten by our temptations. We've been bitten by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We have been bitten by our unwise and ungodly choices. But God has risen Jesus on that cross so that we can turn to Him, so that we can go to Him, and that like these 10 lepers said, we too can pray, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Our Christ is always willing. Our Christ is always ready. And our Christ is always available to have mercy on us and to heal us from our leprosy. He doesn't need to ask questions why or how. or where or when, because it doesn't matter. He has the blood that can save us, and he has already shed it on the cross, if only you and I are ready to follow his command. Go back to Luke 17, point number 3. Notice that these men were not going to be healed because Jesus was simply going to touch them as he had done with another case in Matthew chapter 8. But pay attention here what Jesus does there in verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. There was a condition to their cleanliness. Jesus put forth a commandment that needed to be followed. You see, these 10 lepers, if they wanted to be returned to society, if they wanted to be cleansed from this infirmity, they had to do what? They had to obey the command given by Jesus. It wasn't going to happen without their obedience. They needed to follow what the Lord had told them. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Well, what is the meaning of that? Why would Jesus potentially, or apparently, break the law and send them to go to the temple when they were still leprous? See, they were only supposed to appear according to the law once they were cleansed. But these men were yet to be cleansed. These men were still covered by their leprosy, and Christ gave them the commandment as if he already had healed them. See, Jesus has already healed the sin problem. Christ has already provided the antidote, the panacea of sin. He's already given it to us. We now have a solution for sin. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. These men had to show their faith. You see, they began showing their faith by believing in him when they asked him to have mercy on them. When they called him master, they were showing they believed in his power. They were showing that they believed in what they had heard. They were showing faith in Jesus, but it was not yet complete. You see, their faith required obedience. If believing was all they needed, why were they not healed in that moment? If they called upon Jesus as a master and they called upon him expressing their faith in him, why were they not healed in that moment? Because there still needed to be a complete, perfected faith. They needed to obey the commandment given by the master himself. They needed to be faithful to the master himself. Go, therefore, show yourselves to the priests. See, Jesus here is essentially telling them, if I am indeed your master, and if you are indeed my disciples, then you will do as I've commanded you. You will abide in my law, and you will do as I say. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, pay attention to what Jesus says. Even though these people that he was talking to were the Jews who believed in him, pay close attention to what the master tells them, even though they were following him and even though they believed them. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They already believed in him. They were already following him. But they needed to abide in his word. They needed to continue in his word. These 10 lepers believed in Jesus. But now they needed to follow. They needed to obey. They needed to trust that as they went to the priest, they would be healed and not killed. They didn't know what Jesus was going to do. They didn't know how he was going to do it. But did you notice they didn't question it? They believed him. They trusted him. How do we know this? By their obedience. They went to the priests. And because they went to the priests, their active, obedient faith cleansed them washed away the leprosy. Friends, we see then, sin is universal. And when we are without Christ, we are all equally unclean before God. We see that because of this, only Jesus can heal us from that spiritual leprosy. We all need to call upon Jesus. We all need to come to Jesus and realize that only He can have mercy on us that brings forth salvation. But it is not enough for me to know who Jesus is, and it is not enough for me to believe that He has the power to do so. I have to obey the commandment that He gives me. I have to follow the instructions that He provides. In Matthew chapter 17, if you recall there in the Transfiguration, notice that what Peter was offering was in accordance to the old ways. What Peter was offering was following the tradition of his fathers. But pay close attention to what God the Father commands in regards to this. Matthew chapter 17, beginning there at verse 5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Doesn't matter where I came from. Doesn't matter what the traditions of my fathers were. Because it is the commandment, the instructions of the Master Jesus Himself that will get me cleansed. It is the only power that can bring me back to fellowship with God. Because without God, without Christ, I remain outside the temple as an outcast, having to forever say, unclean, unclean. So as we see, there is a lot of teaching outside of just being thankful here. We see that in these 10 lepers, we learn about the universal nature of sin. It makes all men equal in the eyes of God because we are unclean. It shows the power of Jesus that only He can cleanse all men's sins, no matter what form of life or what background they have. But man must be obedient to the commandments of Christ in order to be cleaned. But I don't want to end our lesson without mentioning the part that is most known. What do we see there? What do we learn there with the fact that this one Samaritan came back grateful? Let's go back and read verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Brethren, we should rejoice when we see that our sins are washed away in the waters of baptism. And with a loud voice, we should thank God and glorify Him. Because we acknowledge that God did not have to heal us through His stripes. We recognize the mercy that God had on us. And therefore, brethren, as we are now doing here today, we should worship with great joy. We should worship with a heart of thanksgiving. We should worship with great humility, bowing our heads to the ground, praising and glorifying the Almighty for His mercy, His compassion, and His love. We should recognize, brethren, as verse 15 says, when one of them saw that he was healed. The implication here is that perhaps the other 9 didn't realize it until they arrived to the priests. But this one had so much faith that he was watching himself and he kept looking at himself, wondering when it was going to happen. Notice the certainty that he had. When is it going to happen? I know it's going to happen, but when? And when it happened, he didn't go to the priests. He came to the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. To the one who cleansed him. To the one who made him clean. And to him, he gave thanks and showed himself clean. He appeared before Jesus unclean. He reappeared before Jesus clean. This is why we worship our God. When we were in sin, we were before him unclean. But when we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb through the waters of baptism, we need to reappear clean in fellowship with him, grateful, joyful, and thankful. You see, brethren, that's what it means to be faithful unto death. That's the fellowship that God wants to have with his creation. But when we don't come back, when we don't return, we are like the 9 lepers who, once they've checked off a box, once they obtain what they deserve, whether it was a clear conscience, whether it was knowing that I've done what I had to do, we keep going our way and we show a partial gratification toward God. We need to be like the Samaritan and remember, when we don't want to come back, remind ourselves, no, Jesus the Master had mercy on me. And I need to return to him. And I need to shout with a joyous, loud voice to God, glorifying him. And when I arrive to the feet of the Master, I must bow. And I must worship him. Because he had mercy on me when I was not worthy to be shown such mercy. Perhaps, friend, you right now are on the outside looking in. You're in need of being cleansed from your sins. Your plea is the same as the 10 lepers. Jesus, Master, show mercy on us. He is here now. And his commandment to you is, be washed in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins and rise to a newness of life, to a life where you no longer are unclean, to a life where you're no longer outside, but rather brought inside by Christ himself. Brother, sister, perhaps you and I, we've been more the 9 than the 1. Perhaps we don't accustom to return because we've checked off a box. Let's be like the 1. Let's be a part of the 10%. Let us be grateful and let us remember that whether it is a commandment or not, it is an honor to be able to return once again, clean, to give thanks for the grace that was shown to us. But if we're having trouble remembering who we were before Christ washed us, perhaps we can help you remember. Perhaps you want to stop being so ungrateful, and you want to start being more grateful because you realize the blessing that Christ has been to you in your life. If you are in need of prayers or you're in need of encouragement, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.